We look a lot like Christmas.
I was trying to go for something, but I have a cold.
Oh, you're so sweet when you sing to me.
I was trying to go with the Cindy Lou Who voice. Oh, I just couldn't get there.
There is a Cindy Lou Who in you.
My hair is kind of appropriately Cindy Lou Who today.
On top of your head. And it's so winter outside this apartment in New York City. The decorations are up. There's that beautiful, like, kind of gray overcast hanging over New York, but it feels very romantic and the streets are kind of wet and shiny.
Mm-hmm. And all the little Christmas tree stands are out, so when you're walking down the streets, instead of smelling the normal garbage smell, it smells kind of like garbagey Christmas trees.
Oh, welcome to New York, and welcome to the Create Podcast.
Woo! Welcome to the Create Podcast. For those of you who are new to the podcast, we would like to welcome you, and I'm Natalie, and this is my best friend, Kristen.
Hi, I'm Kristen.
And we started this podcast, I guess it's been almost 2 years now, and we really just wanted to have some conversations about our favorite things, which are art and creativity and spirituality and dharma and purpose and joy and pleasure and desire and activation. And so here we are.
Here we are. As we talk about it with each other, we're letting you in on the conversation and hoping that you'll join our dialogue, because as we know, we are all in this together. So, Natalie,
Kristen,
last weekend, you and I are walking down the street and we're having a conversation and somehow you say out loud about resonating with greatness. And I think I stopped at that moment and turned to you and I was like, that's a cool podcast.
That's the one. This might have even been on our last podcast that we came up with it.
Wait.
Wasn't it? I think we were doing a podcast and we were jamming about something. And then at some point we said resonating with greatness. And we said, maybe that's our next podcast.
Yes. And then you know what happened when we were walking down the street? This is what it was. We started talking about what throne are you sitting on? That's what happened when we were sitting. And then I said, that's a podcast. Oh, wait, that's the same podcast as Resonated with
Greatness.
That's
what it is. Can we actually take a pause to tell that story?
Sure.
Oh, so we were talking with someone and they were sharing with us that they had this silly, crazy, out-of-the-box desire to buy a pink toilet seat.
Mm-hmm.
And she was like so delighted that she went on Amazon to just buy a new toilet seat because her toilet seat was broken. And then she couldn't believe it came in multiple colors because you only ever see a white toilet seat. And she was so delighted and delirious. It was just the moment struck her in a certain way and all she wanted was a pink toilet seat. And so she gave herself permission to order it even though it was silly and absurd and, you know, are the other people she lives with going to like it and all these things. But it was just this moment of, can I give myself permission to really follow my charm and my desire?
Yes.
And just do something that feels fun and silly and organic to me, even if it doesn't make sense.
Yes.
And so it was really funny because when Kristen and I were saying how much we loved that story and that story being an example of how can we in our own lives give ourselves more permission to do the things that maybe are more silly or seem more frivolous or any of these kinds of things. And then I think we said something to each other like, well, you know, it's just about like decorating and like sitting on the most beautiful throne.
Yes.
You know, so even when you are kind of in the shitter, you get to have life be beautiful and fun and joyous.
You get to choose your throne.
Yeah.
You get to choose what it looks like for you, which is a great kind of segue into this topic of resonating with greatness is what are you going to choose? And what are you going to choose no matter what the outer world is doing?
Right.
So Natalie and I are having this conversation as we walk through the Upper West Side this morning, and you know, a week later, we often take stock of like, what did your past week look like? What is it looking like right now? And what was coming up for both of us in our conversation is, who am I going to be no matter what someone else is being? And who am I going to be in my own career, my dharma, my creativity, no matter what's going on?
It's almost like there's a false belief that we have all taken on as truth that you can only be great once someone else who's great and fancy signs off on your greatness.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we want to talk about in terms of resonating with greatness is something we talk about as an underlying theme in all of our talks and podcasts, which is it's an inner game. It must start on the inside and you must validate and activate and accept your own greatness before the world can reflect it back to you and before anyone else can agree with you, really.
Right. So imagine this. You are with the best, most attractive spiritual partner who communicates and validates and listens and respects you. You have the A number one partner of all time.
Wait, are you talking about my relationship with you?
Yes, that's exactly right.
Wait, I have that.
You have that.
She has curly hair and is sitting in front of me and she's very beautiful.
Oh, thank you, my love. When you have that, who do you show up to be in that relationship, right? You then want to raise your game and show up as that when that is sitting across from you. Also, try this on for size. You are in the ideal career. You are surrounded by people that respect you and honor your ideas, where creativity thrives every day. Everyone feels heard and listened to. It's fun and exciting and easy. And there's a group feeling of oneness and enthusiasm. Who are you at that place of work? Who are you in that job, right? Now, who are you being when it's not that? Isn't it interesting how we want to show up as our best selves when we are surrounded with the best? But how easily we can find ourselves reacting to circumstances that are less than ideal and then find ourselves not actually being who we know we are at the truth of our being, at our core. It's almost like, well, if their behavior is sliding, then my behavior will slide.
Right.
If that girl at my work is rude to me, I'm going to be rude right back.
Mm-hmm.
If my partner is acting like an a-hole, then I'm going to be an a-hole right back, right? It's like if my dream isn't showing up for me, then I am bailing and deciding to go to med school.
Right.
Or whatever it is, whatever it looks like for you. We want to say, where do we give ourselves a pass on greatness?
Mm.
When what we're desiring from life is greatness.
Right.
So we want these things. We want the most amazing partner. We want our ideal career, our creativity to thrive. We want to be accomplished and we want perfect creative expression. And yet, how quickly will we bail when the circumstances are not right? But all of us know on the deepest core of who we are that there is an ideal self. There's a person we know we were meant to be here on this planet. And what if we said, that person, we have to give birth to that person first, and then everything will change.
Well said. No, I can tell the most funny story and out myself about an opportunity to stand in greatness that I bailed on. I found myself single, and I had a little crush on this spiritual teacher that we know. Oh, look, there's the bells of heaven saying, Natalie, are you really going to tell this story? So I don't know if you all know, but we became friends with Rob Bell. And Rob has a friend who's also a spiritual teacher named Pete Rollins, who I thought had the sexiest Irish voice and was very cute. And I was like, oh, I have such a crush on him. Now, I've never met him.
But wait, I
just heard his voice.
I can't believe you're telling
the story. I'm totally telling
the story. And I love that you're telling
the story. I'm totally
telling the story.
So I thought he was so cute, but I've never met him. I kind of Googled him. I was like, oh, he's cute, and he has a sexy voice, and he's such a deep spiritual teacher.
Yes.
He's such a philosopher.
Yes.
He's so cool.
Yes.
I was like, oh, I have a little crush on him. So I remember talking to Rob and Kristen Bell one day and saying, oh, my future husband, your friend Pete Rollins. And they were laughing. They were like, oh, no, she's serious. But it was so funny because even though this was my joke that, you know, oh, this is going to be my future husband because I just had a crush on him. Now, the truth is I just love and respect his work and I actually think he's a lovely human. Never was it going to go in that direction for me. I was just teasing. But the thing was, is actually when I got really still and silent, I thought, wow, what if I actually did date someone at that level? Oh, no, I could never, Because they'll realize that I'm actually, like, a crazy person with all kinds of stuff, right? I was like, there's no way I could resonate at that level of greatness. There's no way that I could reach to that caliber because all of my hidden secret stuff would come up.
Mm.
Now, here's what I actually believe. I actually believe that what makes us great is when all of our stuff is not in secret, when we own and accept and honor the dark places, the places in ourselves that we want to avoid, that we
mm-hmm.
want to punish ourselves for having, that we want to shame ourselves for, make ourselves feel guilty for. And part of our greatness is actually accepting ourselves wholly and fully and completely. Because part of what the journey of greatness is an expansion.
Mm.
You become more visible. You become bigger. And so there is an opportunity for all your secret hidden stuff to come to the surface and come to the table. So if you're busy trying to hide it, you can't possibly resonate with greatness, because greatness is an opening. It is an expansion. It is offering your life and your talent and yourself as service. And often the best way we can be at service is telling the story of our humanity and our whole selves, rather than trying to project a perfected image of what we think the world wants. That's what true greatness is. So when we have a conversation about resonating with greatness, we're not saying, here's how you can be famous. Here's how you can make the most money. We're saying, here's how you can let your truest, most authentic expression of who you came to be on this planet be as big and enlivened and activated as you deserve to experience yourself as a gift to the entire world.
Whew. I'm so deeply in love with you. That was gorgeous.
And it all started from that silly story.
That's, I love that story. But man, does that resonate with me, Nat, is that it's our humanity, being authentic about our humanity is the truest gift. And until we're willing to actually embrace and love our humanity as this part of me that I want to sweep under the carpet and not let anyone see is actually the juice.
Yes.
It's actually the good stuff. This is what truly makes me lovable, not the appearance of something on the outside, but everything that's going underneath and my willingness to love that.
And I often think when we have a way of living where we're trying to avoid that stuff,
mm-hmm.
what it ends up creating is a lens where we're always trying to see the bad in the world, or we're always trying to see the bad in others.
Yeah.
And so when we can really stay on our side of the street and continue to walk our own path and continue to be authentic and expressed in all of the shadows and the light and all of the humanness that we are, it helps create a compassion where we see other darkness or let's just use the word weaknesses in other people, in the world, in our dream, in our projects. Then we don't look at a project's weakness and think there's something wrong with us who created it, or think there's something wrong with the project, or we should abandon it, or we should bail on it, or maybe it's not good enough. Then we actually see it with compassion. We see it as something that has a growth opportunity.
It's a growth opportunity. That's all it is. And that growth opportunity is a gift. So we're denying the gift when we won't look at the growth opportunity.
And if we're not willing to look at a growth opportunity, how can we ever resonate with greatness? Because greatness is expanding and evolving.
Well, just to out myself, like if you were sitting here at my apartment with me and Natalie right now, you would notice that my apartment looks like an explosion of Rainbow Bright. All the bright colors, so much whimsy. It is, like, I think if you walk in here, you immediately kind of feel kind of lifted, and it's very childlike,
it's
too.
It's very, like an artist space. You know, there's twinkle lights, there's paint, there's bright colors. It feels magical.
And yet I know that if you open this drawer here, which I'm going to do, and it's great for
a podcast.
Oh my gosh,
I can't wait.
Right? Like, look at that.
Oh.
Look at what's going on.
I
right?
See.
So I just
there's
opened
some
up.
Dreidels. There's some candles. There's
a
lint roller.
But there's light bulbs. But basically, it's like my junk drawer, right? And but I've been joking with myself that I have too many junk drawers in my apartment.
Mm.
So what looks sparkly and magical and colorful, if you open up the cabinet, you see where it's a hot mess, right? And so I've been like, oh, well, over this holiday season, you and I often travel and we go somewhere magical. And I'm like, you know what I need to do is I have an inner desire, and it's coming from my own desire of actually just sitting and being and opening up cabinets. And may I be willing to look at everything to create order? So it's not just about things being beautiful on the outside. Can they also be orderly and magical on the inside, right? So, and I also feel that that is a metaphor for what I've also been doing in my own inner work. Where do I not want to look? And may I open up that door internally and be willing to look there?
Because everywhere we don't want to look is actually the gateway to our greatness.
That's right. It's the gift.
That's the gift. Every place we think is a weakness is actually our superpower. Every place our ego wants to attack us and tell us we should feel ashamed of this place or we shouldn't want to express ourselves in this place is actually the place of the most mastery.
Yes.
And if we can just start to view ourselves with more compassion, then we will start to treat ourselves more as if we are already great. And when we start treating ourselves as if we feel we are already great, there's more reverence, there's more care, there's more love, and therefore there's an expedited growth process.
Well, and that's what it is. The growth opportunities that lay dormant within us can only be seen once we have the container of compassion around ourselves. Because if we don't have a lot of compassion and gentleness around ourselves, we're actually so afraid of thinking that we're wrong or bad, we don't want to open the door. So we have to start with, I come from goodness. I come from innocence. I am beautiful and worthy and lovable. And inside this container of infinite, unconditional love, now I'm willing to open up every door.
Right.
So Natalie and I this morning, we made this cute little list.
We love a list.
We love a little list, and we wanted to share it with you. And we got really excited, you guys, when we started making it, because we're talking about what are the traits of greatness that we can start incorporating into our lives, no matter where we are and no matter what our life looks like.
It's almost like to become a doctor, you must go to med school.
Yes.
Right? You can't just pick up a scalpel and say, this is my dream and here I go.
Yeah.
There are certain practices, there's techniques, there's rituals. You know, if you want to be a runner, there's certain practices, techniques, there's things that you have to do. And these practices is really what creates this mastery. And so what we want to say is the first thing that you must do is recognize that you were born with greatness and you were born for greatness. And that how you have limited your own greatness is by limiting your ability to have compassion for your whole self and your humanity. So from this place of saying, I will now step forward in an acceptance of my humanity, in an acceptance of my messy and my good and my bad and my light and my dark and all the things that I am, now we need to get you these practices of the pro, the practices that can sustain and continue and grow your greatness.
So you can almost think of this as two lists. It's like the habits of mediocrity and the habits of greatness. So we'll go through each one and we'll just riff on them. So the first habit of mediocrity is complaining.
Have you ever had that challenge? Has anyone ever given you the challenge? I believe I had a teacher give me this challenge once to say, can you just go one day, one 24-hour span without complaining? Absolutely. Oh, fuck. Absolutely not.
Well, you know what I notice is I can sometimes have sneaky negativity. Like, I like to think of myself as like, I'm the most optimistic person in the world. But it's sneaky the way my little complaints get in there and go, oh, you're hiding out.
I feel like I have complaining as a chronic condition. And I think sometimes it's obvious and sometimes it's not, but it's just an ongoing running opinion about life and how it could be better.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like, and it's everything from the train not coming on time to, you know, it could be anything, big or small. The lineup at the coffee place is not to my liking. You know, the way I performed was not quite good enough. It could be big or small, but there's this constant, how could something be better, which is always a complaint.
Yes. Yes.
There's this really cool thing from Elizabeth Gilbert's book, Big Magic, that I just wanted to share because I read it and something about it set me free, even though it is just the hard, cold truth. So there was a letter that German director Werner Herzog wrote to Elizabeth Gilbert's friend, who is an Italian filmmaker. So this Italian filmmaker wrote a letter to Werner complaining about his career, and this is Werner's response back. Quit your complaining. It's not the world's fault that you wanted to be an artist. It's not the world's job to enjoy the films you make. And it is certainly not the world's obligation to pay for your dreams. Nobody wants to hear it. Steal a camera if you must. Stop whining and get back to work.
Oh.
Now, what I love about this is a director who's resonating with his own greatness.
Mm-hmm.
Having someone who's in a complaining, mediocre state of being coming to him and saying, it's hard to make movies. It's hard to da-da-da-da. And it is. It is. These are all legitimate complaints. And ultimately the message is just stop complaining and do your work.
Well, just because a complaint is legitimate doesn't mean it's serving you.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
And I've said this before, I think, on this podcast, but there's this Tennessee Williams quote that I love about successful won't come. Success is shy and won't come if you're watching. So be so busy actually doing the work that it comes up, that comes and sneaks up on you.
Right.
Right. So may I just be so dedicated to my actual craft and focused on my craft that I can't spend time noticing if anyone's acknowledging me for it or not.
Right.
Right. I'm too busy.
Right.
I'm actually just too focused on the work.
Right.
To check out and see if the world's validating me.
Well, and I love how it says, you know, that there's kind of like three good heavy hitters here. It's not the world's job to enjoy the films you make.
Yeah.
I love that. It's not the casting director's job to enjoy my audition.
Yes.
It's my job to enjoy my audition.
Boom!
Right? It's not the reviewer's job to love the show you created.
No.
It's your job to love the
That's
show
right.
you created, right? It's not my partner's job to love me the way I want to be loved. It's my job, right?
Right.
And so can I stop complaining about what you're not doing, what you're not liking, how I wish life could be different, and just get to work?
Well, we're not willing to take our job, right? So if my job is to enjoy what I write, I better enjoy what I write.
That's
if it's my job to love myself, I better do my job and love myself. Like, I will take 100% of my job. And my job is to love my creation and love myself.
So complaining is really about a laziness.
Mm.
And if we want to resonate with greatness, we have to do our work and do our job. And our number one job is to quit complaining and get back to work.
So here is a habit of mediocrity number two is resentment and anger.
Mm.
Getting stuck in these thought patterns of resenting what hasn't worked for us or being inside this kind of anger at the world for what hasn't happened in the past or isn't happening now, right?
Right. Someone was talking to me recently. They were feeling resentful about New York because the rents are so high. And it's like everyone can resonate with that truth. The rent in New York is very high. And, you know, they were struggling saying, it's really hard to be here and try to be an artist because there's so much pressure to work and make so much money just to be in this place. And there was this developing resentment and anger and kind of a feeling of it's not fair. And so my advice was, well, who said you can only be an artist in New York?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if that's truly an issue, then find a place on a hill, by a lake, find a place that you love to live, that the rent doesn't cost much, and find a way to act, right? Because
yeah.
rather than continuing to build a resentment about what's not working, how can you take an action towards creating something that works better for you?
There it is. There it is. It's like anger comes with a message,
yes.
right? We want to get that message, but we also want to get that message and let it flow through us
yeah.
so that we can truly be a vessel for what we're here to do in the world.
Exactly.
And so if we get clogged up with resentment and anger, we can't let the spirit of creativity and of love pass through us.
It's almost like I think of a boiling tea kettle,
mm.
that the heat and the steam is always, it's rising,
yep.
right? And I think of anger in the same way, this heat that rises up in our body. Well, it almost makes me think it's rising up to get out. It's rising up into our third chakra and our crown chakra, it's rising up into inspiration and expression so that the anger is leading us towards a new insight. It's leading us into a new movement. It's leading us to do something that hasn't been done yet or before. So it's always a great teacher. So it's not that having it is wrong, but when it turns into resentment is when we have anger that hasn't been expressed in its proper form, and so then it builds into resentment.
Right. Anger is asking for a solution, but if we don't move to solution, then we've missed the message.
Right.
Right? Number three, blaming.
Mm.
Blaming.
This is easy. This is an easy one, right? We can blame our bank account.
Mm-hmm.
We can blame our partners for not being supportive enough.
We can blame the industry.
We can blame the industry. We can blame our dream itself.
Mm-hmm.
How I've invested time and money and energy into you. Why aren't you doing something for me?
Well, yeah. Why is that person's dream happening and not mine?
We blame others that are more successful.
Quote unquote. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We blame what we look like.
Mm.
We
blame time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm too old now or whatever, you know.
Exactly.
Yeah.
It's all
we blame choices that we've made.
Yeah.
You know, we blame, oh, if I hadn't have made this choice, I could have had more freedom or more opportunities.
And all of those things get us out of seeing what is here for us. One of the things you and I talk about all the time is it's all already here. Like, those solutions that anger wants to get us to see, they're all here right now. So if we find that when we're blaming something, we can't see what is being offered, right here, right now. It's almost like, I like to think of, there's like doorways in front of me on all sides, and all of them lead toward my dream.
Right.
And I just have to be willing to say, I will open up the easiest door in front of me, and that is going to take me where I want to be. But I must be willing to step through the door.
That. Another one is we love to blame our history, our past, our parents.
Yep.
Right? And it's just as easy to take the perspective of, well, everyone did the best they had with what they were dealt, as it is to say, you know, I blame the outer world or another person for my needs not being met. Again, we're not doing our job.
Right. We're not taking responsibility for who we are here and now in this body. And I like to think of it sometimes as like, Kristen Hange has never come to the planet before. Here I am right now. And I needed everything to be the way it was with my parents, my upbringing, what I like, what turns me on. I needed all these things for me to be who I am on the planet.
Mm.
So I like to think of it as, before I embodied into a human form, I chose all these things to be the way they are so that I might live the legend of Kristen Hange.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
But if I get focused on blame, it keeps me out of ownership.
Yes.
Ownership of everything as it is and all of that being for me.
Love that.
All right. Number four, making yourself guilty, right? So being inside of like punishment of self, right?
Mm-hmm.
Like living in guilt.
Living in guilt. So many of us feel that even having chosen to be an artist is selfish.
Mm-hmm.
So we're going into trying to be great at something that ultimately we're shaming and guilting ourselves for having chosen.
And that we really do sometimes think that we are flawed as we are. And we will often like make lists of, this is the way that I am bad, or this is how I'm wrong. And then we'll like inward way flog ourselves for behavior that we know or that we... It keeps us out of our power, right? If we are so focused on all these kind of lists of the things we think we're doing wrong or the way that we are wrong, that keeps us from being able to bring our dharma and our talent and our creativity and our love into the world.
Because it does make us great, but it makes us great at what we're bad at.
Oh.
As opposed to being great at what we're great at.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. All right. Next up, thinking that you know best.
Oh, so guilty. So guilty of this one. You know, whenever we get self-righteous or controlling, we want to push our own agenda. We think we know the way. And we also think the universe should yield to our way. And I always think it's so cute that my little brain my little human brain that's, what, a few thousand years old, you know, that's been evolving for just a few thousand years, and how long has this universe been what
around.
It is. And it's so funny for me that I have this little brain, this little mechanism that's designed to keep me alive and surviving. And I somehow think that's going to be the thing that knows how to help me get into greatness. And then I'm going to try to convince everyone else that not only is it the mechanism for knowing how my own greatness works, but how everyone else's should work
as
well.
Oh, so good,
yeah.
Nat. Oh, well, it's like thinking that we know best keeps us out of being able to be in the question where we can receive an insight.
That's right. And I think sometimes we want to feel a sense of ownership over the journey so that we can then feel proud of ourselves. I did that. But you can feel just as proud of yourself for something coming through you that you had nothing to do with as you can if you have in any way kind of some ownership of it. I think people feel this way with children.
Mm-hmm.
Is you're looking at this little thing and it's like somehow you feel like I made that. And in other ways, you feel like that is so much more magical and special than anything I could ever understand.
Right?
Like it's its own creature with its own personality that has nothing to do with me.
That's why I love that phrase, your path is your way. I don't know what you came here to learn on the planet. I don't know why you incarnated. I don't know what you're studying on this planet. So I have no idea what is right for you.
Mm.
And also, I don't know what spirit's trying to do through me.
Mm.
I don't know the gifts it's giving me in my life. I don't know how it's setting me up for success. I really know most when I just admit I don't know.
We were talking about this today, how all the great miracles and gifts always come out a side door that you never expected.
Never saw
I was just
it
telling Kristen that I had this great booking come in. I haven't announced it yet, but this great booking came in with this great female director who's directing on my favorite show on TV, and it came in as an offer based on work I had done years ago. It's just, it was this thing that came in when I was busy ruminating on how to make myself great as an artist.
Yes.
Do you know what I mean?
That's right.
And then all of a sudden, this greatness easily showed up without me having to do any work or figure anything out. So thank goodness I don't know.
Thank goodness we don't know. And then, guess what? Our jobs become really easy because it's not our job to know.
That's right.
Our job is just to love ourselves and love our expression.
So one of the habits that keeps us out of our greatness is continuing to prove how much we know and continuing to ruminate about how to know more.
Well, that brings us to number 6 on the habits of mediocrity, which is control.
Mm. This is probably one of the big ones. This is probably one of the biggest ones.
Yes.
That we suck the life out of greatness by controlling the process,
mm-hmm.
controlling others,
mm-hmm.
controlling ourselves. There's a constant feeling of, again, this self-righteousness that keeps greatness from coming through so many channels because now it can only come through the one channel.
Well, I think of it as we are suffocating spirit when we control things,
mm.
right? It's like we're taking our hands and we're wrapping it around that channel and squeezing it so tight nothing can come through.
Mm.
And then we wonder, how come my life doesn't look like the way I want?
Mm.
It's because we made the channel small. So control, as opposed to, you know, I'm taking my hands right now and making them into, like, fists. And the image that comes into my head is take those fists that are trying to squeeze something and open up our hands
mm.
and let go.
Mm.
And in that great letting go is when we allow spirit to flow. It's enacting trust instead of control.
And what's interesting is when we are in a place of control, very little happens. And when we are out of control, things happen fast, right?
Yeah.
Think about sex. An orgasm always happens from that place of complete surrender of control.
Yes.
If you're trying to control it, it's never going to come.
Ugh.
You think about nature, the seasons transitioning.
Yes.
When you see the biggest change in the seasons,
mm-hmm.
it's nature is just in complete surrender. Just
let
something happen to me and all gets done and all gets done perfectly and things die and grow and regrow and change and shift. But everything has a perfect plan. Everything has a plan that is bigger than what I know. So why would I try to control it?
It's like, I think of how my parents, who were school teachers, are retired now, used to do their lesson plans, and they would say, you make a plan for what you're going to teach, and then you don't look at it.
Right.
So that you can be in the moment. Same thing with directing. You make a plan for directing, and then you don't look at it. You're in the room, right?
Right.
So it's almost like an actor. You break down the script, you make a plan, and then you're in the
moment.
And
then you show up and
right?
play.
Right. So in our life, we can, like, write down our goals and then put them away and be in the moment.
Right.
Right?
Exactly right.
So life is not saying, don't make an intention. Make your intention.
Mm-hmm.
And then let go.
Exactly. It makes me think of you have a target out
mm-hmm,
in front of
mm-hmm.
you. And you know what the target is.
Yes.
You know where you want to go. You know what it looks like. And you put energy and intention into it by taking your bow and arrow and pulling it back, and then you let it go. Now, where that arrow goes is none of your business. If it hits the target, it's none of your business. If it hits another target, it's none of your business. Now you just watch where the arrow goes and just follow it and get on the trail.
I love that metaphor. High five, sexy girl. Put number 7, compare and despair.
I always think, like, you know, would Bradley Cooper have become Bradley Cooper if he was busy saying, I'm not Marlon Brando?
No.
Do you know what I mean?
Yes.
This is what I think we do as artists. We don't understand our own possibility of greatness because it hasn't manifested in its fullness and entirety
mm-hmm.
yet. And it's on the way to that
yeah.
unfolding, just like a beautiful flower that's in a tight bud that hasn't fully bloomed yet,
yes.
but if it's comparing itself to another flower that's full and open and bloomed and expressed, then it's going to feel like it's not good enough or it's done something wrong. So for me, one of the hindrances to greatness is looking at others and comparing, I'm not that great. And we often think that's somehow motivating, and it is not.
No, totally.
It is not.
And that different people will resonate with different things.
Mm.
So I think of, like, you and I look very different, right?
Mm-hmm.
We're both beautiful girls, but we look very different. And you and I have often commented on, in different places in the world, men respond to us
yes.
totally different.
In Spain, I am invisible. Kristen Henge is the goddess of all goddesses that men cannot stop. I mean, friends, I'm telling you, Kristen and I are walking down the street. They don't just make eyes at her. They grunt animal noises in her general direction. It is fascinating. Me, nothing.
But there have been so many times where I've been with Natalie, and it's like all eyes on her.
I'm good in France.
Right? But it's just so funny. It's like, would be so silly for either of us to wonder why we're not the other
right.
when we're just made totally different
right.
for different functions and for different kinds of appreciation, right? And so can we honor what it is that we do and how our creativity comes through us is exactly perfect.
Mm.
And when there's that tendency to look at someone else and go, look at their career, look at what they're doing, how come they get that and not me? Go, ooh, I just got out of my lane.
Mm-hmm.
I could take all that energy that wants to go out and take it right back in.
Right.
And that really is just a call for more self-love, appreciation, cultivation, nurturing. We can't expect the outer world to do it if we're not doing it for ourselves.
And we also don't know what their journey was
no.
to be there.
No.
We don't know what internal shifts have happened. We don't know what life they have lived. We don't know what awakenings they've had or opportunities they've had or growth opportunities they've had. So we're always, especially in this world of social media, we're always comparing us seeing the wholeness of ourselves, like
right.
our whole story, our whole self, with just a little sliver of someone's life, like a highlight reel.
Yes.
And at best, when we're comparing ourselves to someone else and someone else's journey, we can at best be a second-rate version of them. But the opportunity is to be the first-rate, one-of-a-kind, one-only-ever expression of ourselves.
That's right. The privilege of a lifetime is being yourself,
mm-hmm.
Joseph Campbell says.
Mm-hmm.
Number 8, living in the past or future.
Mm-hmm.
This is like, you know, when we like, you bring up what hasn't worked in the past
yeah.
and use that as an excuse why not to move forward.
Right. Well, why would I ever want to write again? Because the first thing I wrote, it was a flop. You know?
I've been in an acting class before. It didn't work for me.
Right.
I've tried meditating. Not my thing.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Now, we're not saying writing or acting or meditating necessarily is the way to the mountain for you. But we do this in relationships as well, right?
Oh.
Well, I'm never letting this happen again.
Yep.
And then we close ourselves off from a learning opportunity, from a growth opportunity.
Yeah.
All the way that the pain of our past has been stored was through pain. And it has to excavate itself through pain, as Michael Singer says. So if we spend our lives trying to avoid the painful circumstances of our past, then we actually can never grow into our greatness.
And in the same way, if we're too focused on the future, I'm going to be happy when, once I have the da-da-da, and when this happens, then everything.
Right.
We miss that miracles are happening here and now, that your life at this moment is filled with juicy, yummy, excellent miracles that just want to be embraced by you. Here and now.
I always think of when they used to have that television show on The Biggest Loser,
mm-hmm.
where everyone would go on these big weight loss journeys,
yeah.
and they would always interview the contestants before they started the show, and it was always them and kind of their mediocre habits. And often what people would say is, well, if I had a body that I loved, then I wouldn't be doing this to myself, right? And the habits were, well, you must start treating yourself as if you already have that body, because
that's
the way to that body.
That's right.
Right? I remember Mary Lou Henner in her book. She's an actress from the 80s, and I think she's still acting now, actually. But she had this great book about weight loss, and she actually said she had to make a conscious decision to go to a restaurant and order as if she was already an A-list actress.
Yes.
Because in her mind, all the A-list actresses were really skinny, and like they must be on these kinds of regimens and eat only these certain things and do all these things. And so her way of tricking herself was going to the restaurant instead of eating all the bread basket and ordering the penne Alfredo and da-da-da, which is what she would normally want to do. She's like, well, I think the A-list actresses probably order the fish, so that's what I'm going to do, right? And she was kind of like manifesting her way into the future that she wanted to live in, but she was living it in the present moment.
That's right.
Right?
Same thing with your relationship. Treat it as if it's the relationship of your dreams right now, at this very moment. How are you going to show up and communicate with authenticity?
Mm.
How are you going to value the person, affirm the person, speak up and be on it? Like all of the
things.
Treat
that person that you're with like you hit the jackpot of partners.
That's right.
Treat them like that and watch them live into that.
That's exactly right. And you can do the same thing with your career. So wherever it is right now that you can express your creativity, do that like you're playing at the very top
highest
of your
level.
Game. The highest level.
The highest level.
And you bring that into the room with you.
I always work with artists and, you know, they're doing like a monologue or something, and they're like, oh, I'm not really that off book. And I'll always say, well, if Martin Scorsese called you and said you have 2 hours to be off book for this monologue, would you be? Yes. So make it across the board that no matter who asks you, you're working at that level of integrity.
Right. Oh, right now I'm working with this Broadway producer who is amazing. She is the top of her field. Like, you know, just like the creme de la creme. And I have that thing of like, I just watch like, I want her to like me. I want her to think I'm good. I want to be on top of it. I want to respond to the emails right away. And then I was like, oh, thank you for showing me how I can grow in all my other relationships. Where am I not bringing that into everything?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Where can I not create separation of better and worse?
Yes.
And where can I show up across the board with a level of professionalism and integrity and greatness, no matter who I am in the room with?
Right, right. Treat everyone like, so if you think of the number one person I'd love to be working with is fill in the blank, Oprah, Martin Scorsese, anyone come to mind you'd love to be working with?
Oh God. Well, Oprah was the one that came to mind.
Yeah.
You said it out loud.
Elizabeth
Gilbert, Gordon Ramsay, depends on what your vocation is,
right? But that's who's calling. That's who's emailing. That's who you're showing up to meet.
That's the one. So respond to your emails the way you would respond to them.
Yeah.
Right? Have the conversations. Be on time the way you would for them. Live your life in the habit of, I am great and surrounded by greatness.
That's right. And when we stop creating separation, that's when it will disappear.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Number nine, catastrophizing?
Catastrophizing. Is that the word?
I know, I was
Why
trying
can't
to say
we say that word?
Catastrophizing?
Yes. When we make everything a catastrophe.
Oh.
Oh, when we are always thinking about what could go wrong and we don't allow ourselves to focus on what could go right.
Yes. You ever do this? Do you ever play out the day in the shower thinking of all the things that could possibly go wrong?
Yeah.
And then have you ever tried catching yourself in the moment and going, let me write a different script.
Yeah.
What could all go right today?
Right.
What could this day look like as a miracle?
The habits of the great are those who see possibility everywhere.
That's right.
And the habits of the small are those that see what could go wrong.
That's right. Number 10, there's 13, by the way. Number 10 is self-pity.
Mm.
Feeling sorry for yourself.
Woe is me. Victimization.
Woe is me. Victim, victim, victim.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. That's an easy one. It's an easy one to fall into. It's a trap of the small.
Yes.
And it's our job to say, no matter what is happening, how can I see myself as a contributing part of this so that I can reclaim my power and have power to change it?
Right. Every time I look at myself, get into victim mode, it's like, what am I not taking responsibility for?
Mm.
Right? So it's so funny how complaining, number one, is actually an arrow that shows me where I haven't taken responsibility for myself.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
And where I've created this story of self-pity.
Mm.
Number 11, don't make threats to your dream, to your dharma.
Super big one.
Ooh, how many times have we seen someone go, I'm giving this one more year and then I'm out.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
That we're ready to bail. It's like don't bail on your dream.
It's like your bail. Your dream owes you something, and if it doesn't provide, it's going to get it. Right?
I'm shaking my fist at you.
Or you're going to withhold your love for your dream if it doesn't give you
what
you want.
That's it. We punish and withhold our love from our dream when it doesn't behave the way we want.
Oh, such bad parents.
Why would we do that to our baby dream? My sweet baby dream.
It just came to love us help us know ourselves and help us be our best.
It actually came to delight us.
And this is what we do. You know, if I'm not getting enough auditions, if this person doesn't like my script, I'm withholding. I'm withholding my love. I'm withholding my love for this process. I'm withholding my love for myself. I'm withholding my love for my talent.
I'm withholding
my optimism.
I'll show
you. And all you're doing is taking this beautiful gift you were given and trying to hurt it because your ego's hurt.
Oh, sweet baby ego.
Mm.
Number 12, being too cautious.
Mm.
One of the habits of the mediocre is being too cautious, not being willing to take risks and to put yourself on out on the limb. And that includes being seen.
Yes.
Right? A lot of people are really afraid to put themselves out there because they're afraid to be seen, because they're afraid to be criticized, they're afraid of what other people might say, they're afraid that they will be exposed in some way.
Yeah.
And I find for myself, and this has been a big education for me, is people are going to project whatever they want on you, and that is something you can't control.
And the bigger you are, the bigger the projection screen.
Right. So people are going to say you're great and that you've changed their life and they're so glad you're creating in the world. And people are going to say that you have no substance and they hate what you do and that you're a horrible person. And you have no control over that. And the sooner that you learn that, then all of a sudden you can remove your value away from what anyone else says and says, I came here for joy, and sharing my work with the world is joyful.
Right.
Sharing my creativity is joyful. I have a responsibility to the sweet baby dream of mine, and that's what I'm doing. And so I don't need to be cautious. One of my favorite Aubrey Marcus quotes, and I know I say it all the time, is he says, the heart can't get hurt and the soul can't be tarnished.
Mm.
Your heart is like a diamond walking around in a world of pillows.
Mm.
You can't get hurt. Our ego can get hurt.
Yes.
Our expectations can get upset
Yes.
or broken, but the heart can't.
No.
The heart.
I always say it's not a bone. It can't break.
Mm.
The heart cannot break.
That's right.
No. everything that's breaking is everything that's not really us.
Yes.
So let it break. Let it be painful. Let it go and get back to work.
That's right.
Right.
So make that choice. Fail. Lose money. Do
right.
whatever, I mean, you need to do and know, oh, I did that thing and I'm still okay.
Right.
Right?
The bigger pain is getting to the end of your life and asking what if.
Yeah.
Than just taking the risk and falling and having it not work out. Great. Well, as soon as you fail, then you know where your limit is and now you can push past it.
That's right. And number 13 in the habits of mediocrity is letting other people tell you they know best.
Mm.
Right?
Mm.
It's listening to someone else over your own inner voice.
And don't we do this all the time? Let's say you're having a disagreement with someone. Isn't the first thing you do call your best girlfriend
mm-hmm.
or call your partner? You know, you immediately want someone else's opinion, but you haven't even checked in with yourself yet.
Yeah.
You haven't checked in with your own internal mechanism. You haven't checked in with your higher power.
Yeah.
You haven't checked in with, like, what feels good to me. You just cloud and clutter the space with other people's opinions. And then it's dangerous because if people tell you what you want to hear, you'll like them. And if they don't, then you won't.
That's
right.
Right. And this includes being bullied. I had a client recently, a writer, who shared her brand new pilot script with an industry professional who read it and said, it's good, but you'll never be a great writer.
Ugh.
I mean, I just wanted to throw my shoe.
Mm.
And because that person is only speaking from their own limited paradigm. And that just shows me, oh, that person, whoever they are in the industry, has never written a script before.
Right.
Because then she showed it to some writers who gave her beautiful notes and said, one actually said, reading this, what I know for sure is that you are a writer and
yeah.
you're meant to do this.
Wow.
So totally opposite reflections.
Yes.
It's like, who's the source?
Right.
Right?
And so if you know, it's like the great saying, opinions are like assholes, everyone
yes.
has one. If you know that everyone's going to have an opinion, then why not digest, ingest, and invest in the ones that serve you.
Oh, you get another high five. I love it when it rhymes.
Right?
Invest in the ones that serve you.
Because it's not delusional to just take on the ones that serve you. It's motivating. It's life-giving. It's going to help you keep on the track of greatness, to be around those that want to be cheerleaders of your work and your greatness, as opposed to the ones that want to tear you down.
That's it. Oh, well, Natalie.
Woo, that was exciting.
I know. So I'm thinking next week, this is a two-part series.
This is a two-part series.
And next week, we do the habits of greatness.
So we've gone through, so who knew resonating with greatness was such a big topic? But this is this is part one,
mm-hmm.
where we're talking about all the ways that we've kept ourselves out of our greatness. And stay tuned to learn how we can bump ourselves into our resonance with greatness, which is actually our natural state.
Oh, I love being in my natural state.
Oh, I know you do.
It's like running around my apartment naked.
But if you want some more of us in the meantime,
the visual helps.
We have a few exciting offerings for you. Offering number one is, if you go to our website, thecreateseries.com, we have a few things for sale over there and a few things for free over there. So we have some guided meditations on sale over there. We have what we're really excited about, which is our baby brand new book. That is The Pathway to Your Dreams. If you have a dream or an idea and you want to take it from idea into manifestation and liberate this idea into the world, and we take you through our personal stories and our own creative processes and energetic anatomy and all kinds of really cool things. It's a really fun, joyful read. We call it a playbook, not a workbook.
Mm-hmm.
We have pictures in there and drawings and really adorable things. It could be a great Christmas gift. $20 on our website. You can buy the PDF for someone that you love or for yourself as something exciting to move into your new year and to manifest. We also have an accompanying video series that goes with that book if you want to buy them as a package deal, which is really exciting. And the last thing we want to tell you about is, we are doing a really special live create with both of us, Kristen and Natalie, reunited, teaching together in the same room. And this has been months in the making. And we are going to be on December 30th. Teaching together. We are going to be teaching this one night special event at the Actors Green Room, which is on 28th and Broadway in New York City. If you want to come and hang out with us at 7 p.m., it's a perfect time right after Christmas, right before New Year's, to really get yourself primed energetically for this special time that we're moving into. And we are teaching on the miracle and that the miracle is here. And if you're like, I'm not feeling the miracle, I don't know what the miracle is, life doesn't feel like a miracle, come hang out and it'll be revealed.
Thank you for the miracle that you are. Thank you for showing up and listening. Thank you for being in dialogue with us. And thank you that you are acknowledging that you are great. You have greatness that runs through you, and you are willing and excited to let it flow into the world. That's what we want. We want your greatness.
Thank you so much for listening. We love to feel like we have friends all over the world in you who are committed to doing their dream on the planet.
And if you liked this podcast and you want to find out more about what we're doing or who we are, our pop-up classes, our online classes, you can check all of that out at thecreateseries.com.
And if you want to be part of our Facebook community, you can go to the Create Community page. That's C.R.E.A.T.E.Community.
And if you loved this podcast, why not share it with a friend?